This is Grow in Grace, a daily teaching ministry of Palmetto Baptist Church in Greenville, South Carolina. God's mercy can be shocking. For the prophet Jonah, it was actually appalling. He believed the Ninevites deserved punishment. So when God called him to preach to the Ninevites, he took control of the situation by running away. However, God will not be manipulated. So today, we'll look at how God lovingly responds to his wayward prophet in a very unique way, as Pastor Sam concludes a message entitled, Prophet in the Deep. It's from Jonah chapter 1, verse 17. Let's listen together so we can grow in grace.
I can show mercy however I want to show it. Jonah, I can show mercy where I want to show it. And I can show mercy to whoever I want to show it to. And right now, Jonah, the one who needs mercy most in the book is you. And I'm going to show mercy to you. You know, sometimes in our self-righteous indignation, we can actually be the hardest heart in the equation. Jonah actually had the hardest heart in the book. Think about that. Pagan sailors, idolaters in chapter 1, heathen idolaters, cruel oppressors in the Assyrian nation in Nineveh. You talk about hard brutality. You talk about immoral activity. You talk about idolatrous worship. All of it. But the hardest heart in the book is a prodigal prophet named Jonah. You know, think about how we think about life. There are people that maybe we judge. Those people, I can't believe God tolerates those people. That group over there, I can't understand how they even are on the planet still. How in the world could a holy God tolerate that? And God says, you know what? Actually, the person most in need of mercy and the person most in need of work in their spiritual life is you. This is where Jonah is. God says, I will not adjust my plans. And so there is this merciful intervention that leads to God's sovereign direction. The God who intervenes does it by directing his creation. Jonah's already said earlier in the text that he worships and fears the God of heaven who made the sea and the dry land. And so God appoints one of his creation to do a very specific task. The word appoint in the text is an interesting word. It's the word that you would do if you were the owner of a vast amount of resources. And you would allocate some of those resources to a particular project. Or you might direct people that worked in your employment to a particular project or to a particular task. And this is what God does. He looks down on his creation, and there in the ocean is one of his resources, one of his creatures, and he gives that creature a task. And the task is to rescue Jonah, to bring Jonah back. That fish becomes the means of God's divine deliverance. Jonah needs to be delivered from death, but he also needs to be delivered from impenitence and disobedience. And so God said to that fish, I have a job for you. I have a mission for you. I'm allocating your time to a particular project. What's the project? It's Project Prodigal Prophet. He needs to be delivered. He needs to be delivered from death and from disobedience, but it's also the place of divine instruction. God said to that great fish, you're going to become a portable classroom because I have some lessons to teach Jonah. And the very best place to teach that lesson is through distance learning. And we're going to do it in your classroom. And so the belly of that fish became a spiritual classroom where Jonah had to learn about self-righteousness and repentance and mercy and restoration and deliverance. And by the way, God has classrooms for us. It may not be a fish. But trust me, When we set our will against God and we become so self-righteous in our own eyes, God says, I have a classroom for you. And I'm going to put you in that classroom, and you aren't going to get out for recess. You're going to have to be in that classroom because I have important lessons to teach you. And so this fish becomes a means of deliverance and instruction, but it also becomes divine transportation. It becomes God's own little bed and breakfast for Jonah. Jonah is inside the fish, and God is going to teach Jonah. And all the while God is teaching Jonah, Jonah is being transported. And he's being transported back to the land of the living. God is going to use this fish to transport Jonah so that Jonah can transport mercy. God is always on the move in our lives like this. Now, that brings up a big question, at least in my mind. Why in the world would God do this for a prodigal prophet who has been so insistent in his own way? I mean, Jonah has decided, and he has willfully chosen, and all along the way, God has been giving him opportunities, God has been putting things in his pathway, and Jonah's like, nope, I want nothing to do with this. This is wrong, what you're about to do to the Ninevites, I want no part of. And finally, at the very end, when everything has been laid bare, Jonah says, before I repent, I'll die. I would rather perish than repent. And he's hurled over the side of the sea. Now, why in the world wouldn't God just let Jonah go and say, Jonah, you made your bed, you got to sleep in it? Why would God go through the process of restoring this prophet? Why not just raise up another prophet? There are plenty of prophets in the Old Testament. Why couldn't God just work in somebody else's heart, summon that person to go and do what Jonah didn't want to do, and just let Jonah perish? Why not do that? And the answer is this. There's only one answer, and that is God's loyal love, God's loving compassion. And that's the third thing we see in the book. God does what he does in Jonah's life for the very same reason he does what he does in our life, because of loving compassion. And the loving compassion in verse 17 is found up in the word swallow up. God sent this fish, this great fish, large enough to accommodate Jonah. And the act of mercy, the loving compassion, is that God says to the fish, now when you find Jonah, here's what I want you to do. I want you to swallow him up. Now that sounds like a monstrous thing. But it actually becomes the means by which God delivers Jonah and the way that he saves Jonah from death. The word swallow up, and the image is a very violent one. It occurs throughout your Old Testament. Actually, this isn't the first time in our Bible that we see this sort of imagery of swallowing up. For example, it can convey the idea of being swallowed up by danger in Psalm 16, 19. It can describe what happens when an enemy army comes and swallows up the people that they're attacking in Jeremiah 51. It's used to describe what happens when a person dies. He is swallowed up by the grave in judgment in Exodus 15 and in Numbers 16. People who rebel against God are swallowed up by the earth itself. Sinners are swallowed up in death in Job 24 and in Proverbs 1. In every case, the image of swallowing up in the Bible is used negatively in the Old Testament, except for this. This is the only place in our Old Testament where this image is positive. And it's positive because this is how God is going to deliver Jonah from death. This is how he is going to deliver Jonah from disobedience. And this is how he's going to deliver Jonah from spiritual service and ministry. Rather than letting Jonah be swallowed up by his self-righteous pride, rather than letting Jonah be swallowed up by his self-righteous indignation and by his disregarding of God's word, God decided to swallow Jonah up. And you may feel that way from time to time. When God sends mercy to deliver you from you, it may not feel very much like mercy. The fish, the great fish that God sends your direction, When those gaping jaws open and you go in, you may feel like this is the very last thing a loving God should do. How in the world could a loving God heap this on top of everything else that has happened? And just remember, when you're in that fish, you're probably not in the best condition to evaluate what is loving and what isn't about God. Jonah is in that fish because he's already made several bad judgments about God. He's already decided, God, you can't show mercy to those people. You're supposed to show mercy to these people, and you have a covenant that sort of binds that up. Your covenant with David and your covenant with Moses. And so you're supposed to show mercy over here, but you can't show mercy over here. And what Jonah forgot is that God had another covenant. He had a covenant with Abraham. And God said to Abraham, Abraham, your descendants are going to take my mercy to the ends of the earth. And Jonah forgot that. What have you forgotten when you judge God? When you decide and I decide that God's way isn't the right way, and in our righteous indignation and in our self-justified way, we turn our back on the will of God and we justify whatever disobedience is going on in our life because God isn't acting the way God should act. And God says, I'm going to deliver you from all of that. And the deliverance seems like more judgment. You ever felt that way? It's like, God, have I washed my hands in vain? That's what the psalmist said. Have I cleansed myself? Have I committed myself to be your servant in vain? This is what happens when people follow you, and I look over and the heathen aren't experiencing any of these things. The pagan sailors are on a calm sea. The Ninevites are about to repent and get all kinds of mercy. And here I am in the belly of a fish at the bottom of the ocean. And God says, Jonah, I'm putting you there. I'm swallowing you up because I love you. And I'm not going to leave you there. And that's the fourth thing that we see here in the text. God is in the business of graciously reorienting his prophet. And the fish is an important part of this. Notice how the text says, and Jonah was in the belly of the fish for 3 days and three nights. This portable classroom was a place where Jonah learned unforgettable lessons. And when God swallows you up to deliver you, he teaches you unmistakable lessons. Unforgettable lessons. Jonah learned a lesson about God's sovereignty, didn't he? Jonah had to learn who was in charge of Jonah. Jonah had to learn who was in charge of Jonah. And you have to learn, and I have to learn, who's in charge of me and who's in charge of you. This radically reoriented Jonah's understanding of God's sovereignty. God is in charge of Jonah's mission, his ministry, his message, and his life. Here is a fish that belonged to God, and God decided to do something with the fish. And he tasked the fish to something that the fish had to do. How would you like to be a fish having to digest this cranky prophet? It's like the fish going to God. God, are you sure about this? There's a lot more tasty morsels in this ocean than this crotchety old prophet who's pokey, and every time he opens his mouth, there's these verbal things that come out or don't come out. I want nothing to do. Can't you send me a nice pagan to eat? God says, no, I'm appointing you to this task. And I'm kind of making fun of the fish, but the fish actually obeyed. And here's Jonah, who's also been appointed to a task, and he has to learn that, like the fish, he is not the creator, he is a creature created in God's image, and God has the right to do whatever he wants with his creation. And Jonah, if I decide I want to show mercy on a part of my creation, and I want you to go take that mercy to them, then that's my will. You aren't in charge. And you know, that's the greatest lesson that you could ever teach your kid. We spend a lot of time reading all kinds of books about how to raise kids, don't we? Some of you have shelves full of books on how to raise kids. And the number one thing you're burdened about is to tell them, you're not in charge. You're not in charge of you. And God's number one thing to teach you is this, you're not in charge of you. Jonah had to learn an unforgettable lesson about God's sovereignty. He had to also learn an unforgettable lesson about God's severity. Jonah, it's a very serious thing when you disregard my word and you disobey my will. When you take the steering wheel and you decide, I'm going to drive this thing wherever I want to go, and I'm certainly not going there, God says, okay, you need to understand something. When you drive, it gets really, really hard, really, really fast. There is a severity to all of this. No matter how you justify in your mind what you're doing, and no matter how you think you're right in your own eyes, when you do something that God asks you not to do, or you don't do something that God asks you to do, this is a very serious matter, and God deals with our disobedience in great severity. But he also needed to learn an unmistakable lesson about God's mercy. Jonah needed as much undeserved and unmerited mercy as the Ninevites did. And Jonah understood when he stood on that deck that he had two choices. I can repent and live. This is what Moses said. This is what the Torah taught. I can repent and live, or I can continue to resist, and the penalty for that resistance is death. And that's what he chose. So when he was hurled over the side, whatever else Jonah was thinking and whatever regrets he might have had, he understood that he deserved whatever was about to come. But when he got down to the very bottom of the ocean, what he found was mercy. What he found was mercy. And this is one of the biggest lessons in Jonah. Mercy is never merited. It is never fair. It is never just. There is justice behind it, but it is never fair. Mercy is never allocated on the basis of fairness. It was never allocated that way to you, and it will never be allocated that way to anybody else. And Jonah had to learn, and God had to graciously reorient the way that Jonah thought. And there's a final thing that we see in this text, and that is this. There is redemptive instruction for us. There is all of this that God is doing in Jonah's life. There is this deliverance, right? There is this compassion. There is this intervention. There is this reorientation going on in Jonah. But as we look at this lesson, there is something that God wants us to learn. There is redemptive instruction. And it comes back to the idea of being swallowed up. Remember I said everywhere you look in the Old Testament, this imagery, being swallowed up, is negative. This is how God saves us from judgment. You say, well, how in the world can God save us from judgment? He saves us from judgment through judgment. He saves us from judgment through, you say, what do you mean by that, Pastor? All right. When Jonah was swallowed up in that great fish and he was taken down to the bottom of the ocean, what did you expect the outcome to be if you hadn't read the book? There's no coming back from that. This is God's divine severity. This is God's displeasure on the disobedience of this prophet. And he didn't just throw him into the ocean. He swallowed him up in a fearsome sea creature to judge him. But by the end of the story, Jonah is vomited up on dry land and he's alive. So how did he survive? And on what basis did God bring about that deliverance? 750 years later after Jonah, another prophet would come and he would be swallowed up in death. And he would remain in the darkness of a tomb for 3 days and 3 nights, the exact amount of time that Jonah was in the dark and in the deep. And on the third day, that tomb would not hold because death could not hold the God of heaven who came, was incarnated, and became one of us so that death could swallow him up. And the Apostle Paul brings all of this to bear when he says this: death is swallowed up in what? Victory. Death is swallowed up in victory. Oh, death, where is your victory? Oh, death, where is your sting? The sting of death is sin, and the power of sin is the law. But thanks be to God who gives us the victory over death through Jesus Christ our Lord. How did Jonah get delivered from his trouble? The answer was because somebody wasn't delivered from his. Jonah got delivered from death because Jesus wasn't delivered from death. Jesus actually died. And because he died, that death conquered death. That death, theologians describe this way, it was the death of death. When Jesus died, death also died. It was the end of death. And that's true for us. Now, let's close as we wrap this up with this. So what am I supposed to do with all this? This is great, Pastor. This is the bridge, you know, from death to life, from disobedience to submission. So what am I supposed to do with this? Can I just give you five quick thoughts and then we'll pray and we'll be dismissed this morning? Number one, a text like this reminds us that God will never abandon us to our sin. God will never abandon us from our sin. This is what Deuteronomy 31 says. This is what Hebrews 13:5 says. God will never leave us. He will never disengage. He will never abandon us. He will never forsake us. He will never abandon us to our sin. Number two, the end of all sin is death. Somebody has to pay a penalty. So when you get mercy, don't ever for a minute think that God abdicated his justice. The mercy you get came because somebody else got judgment. And we just talked about who that is. Number three, God might be silent, but he is never absent. You may think God isn't around, you don't see him, you don't hear him, you read your Bible, you don't get anything out of it, you pray, it's like the heaven is silent, but God is never absent. And we can see this all throughout the storyline of Jonah. Appearances are not always what they seem when God is involved. You and I would never have imagined to meet Jonah again. Appearances are not always what they seem with God. And then finally, judgment. Deliverance from judgment oftentimes comes through judgment. One of the greatest texts in our New Testament is this: for our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. How did that happen? We were delivered from judgment through the judgment that fell on Christ. So no matter where you are, no matter what you've done this morning, no matter what you think you've lost, there is a way back. Jonah found it. The Ninevites found it, and this morning, I want to encourage you to find it, because the God of Jonah is your God.
Thanks, Pastor Sam. We'll continue this sermon series from the book of Jonah next time on Grow in Grace. Today's speaker, Dr. Sam Horn, is the pastor for teaching and vision at Palmetto Baptist Church. PBC meets at 2730 Anderson Road, Greenville, South Carolina. Join us for our worship service at 9:30 every Sunday morning, or connect with us online at pbcpowdersville.org. Grow in Grace is produced by the audio team at Palmetto Baptist Church, also by Ryan Ahrens and CJ Billieux. Join us again next time, so together we can grow in grace.